Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Once again, I'm your host, Jay Adams. Joining me as always, Daniel Cox.
Hey.
That's Daniel. Once again, joining us on the podcast here, Anthony the intern, who will be spinning all the questions for us today. How are we doing today, Anthony?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good, good. That's the last time you get to speak for a while. Okay, so now let's get into it. As the Falcons are coming off a big 30-17 win over the Philadelphia Eagles, a place they hadn't won since 1988.
Yeah, 1988.
Did we discuss this? Where were you in 1988?
Yeah. I was
a long time.
I've yet to figure out how old I was. So.
You still don't know how old you are?
I just haven't taken the time.
We're gonna keep your age ambiguous anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So anyways, the Falcons won. And seems to be a recurring theme here.
Seven times
we've done this.
Yes.
After a win. And it feels pretty good.
It's hard not to get used to it.
Yeah. I'm used to it. I mean, I'm in a winning routine, man.
I mean, it's, yeah. You just have to be careful, you know. You never know what's going to happen.
You don't want to
get your heart broken, Jay.
I know, Daniel.
We want to avoid that.
You do. All right, so the Falcons did a lot of good things against the Eagles. I thought, jumping out early was big. I felt the Drew Davis touchdown was probably as big as they come. I wonder, if Drew Davis doesn't score that touchdown on that first drive, if things kind of progress from there, to get 7 points on that opening drive and to have it come on such a big play. You take the Eagles, extremely – passionate fan base out of the equation when you do that, and obviously you put a good team on their heels, and that's exactly what the Falcons did against them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we said. You know, that was the Falcons' MO going in. It's been their style of play all season, at least their objective. You know, and I guess most teams would say that, but it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to do it. And the Falcons have, they've definitely got off. To start the season, the first three games, they were starting fast, and we saw how they played when that happened, and they kind of hit their little some struggles in the last three weeks prior to the bye. Well, I guess coming out, everything's starting to run together. But anyway,
you're fine.
I think this game, it felt like going in to this game, like first of all, everyone was picking the Eagles. Doesn't seem like there were a lot of pundits out there.
There were only three on ESPN.com.
Yeah. I know Chris Mortensen was one of them.
Yep.
I appreciate him. Atlanta resident, not native, but Atlanta resident.
Yep.
But and the Falcons went up and they played such a good game. It was a solid game, and they're still saying, the Falcons are saying, we still don't feel like we played our best game. We came pretty close, but I think the second touchdown they gave up. I don't remember all the details of that situation, but I just feel like that was one they would love to have back. I think it would be nice to hold the Eagles to 10 points. But when I think about the Eagles game and the way that the Falcons won it, I think about a couple of things. I think about the fact that it's the fourth time on the road that the Falcons have won.
Yep.
Outdoors, tough environment.
Very tough environment.
And the weather.
Very tough weather.
And it was a physical game. It was. I think the Falcons out-physicaled the Eagles. And you don't always hear that. I think Philly has a reputation, I think. And, the city reputation kind of influences the national perspective that the Eagles have, I guess. But that was the second time that's happened this year. Mm-hmm. The Redskins game was a similar kind of game. Bad weather environment. And it was a physical game, and I don't think – I'm frustrated. I think that the Falcons – not that they're not getting credit for 7-0 and all this stuff in the games that they've won, but
– Oh, no, they're not.
Yeah, I mean, this is true. But there's a lot of people here today.
A lot of people here.
At Flowery Branch.
Yep,
so,
a lot of people here at Flowery Branch.
Some people are starting to take notice. But I feel like the Falcons are playing a physical style of game that they're not getting a lot of credit for right now.
Yeah, and, when you look at that game – against the Eagles, I mean, that's kind of what you expect from a 7-0 team, or a 6-0 team, you know, coming into
right.
that game. You know, that's the kind of performance you expect. I mean, the offense moved very easily. They were able to capitalize on any mistakes that Philadelphia was making. Matt Ryan played just about as good as he could. I mean, mm-hmm. at one point in the first half, his QB rating was 156.6. I mean, the most you can have is 158.3. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's about as close as perfect as you can get.
He ended the first half with 147.3.
Still.
But you're right. You know, it was like 3 points. It was a point in the game where he was like 3 points
yeah.
off.
Yeah. So, you know, all these different things come together at the right time. You've got the running game that picked up a little bit. You've got the run defense that picked up quite
Absolutely.
A bit.
Absolutely. 92 yards they allowed.
92
yards. That's the first time they haven't allowed a team to run for over 100 yards this season.
Right. And these things come together at the right time. You come in after the bye. You know, I always thought, and I still do think, that the line between coming out flat after a bye week and playing really well and rested after a bye week is very fine.
Absolutely.
And I think the Falcons handled that extremely well. They looked like they hadn't had any time off. Didn't look rusty. Didn't allow any rust to accumulate during that bye week. And, you know, this team the week before got back to basics. And I think that was really what everybody is crediting that win to, is having that Monday practice after the bye week and having a chance to get back to, hey, this is how we tackle. This is how we run routes. This is how we, you know, pass block.
Mm-hmm.
These little things that the Falcons were able to worry about, you know, work on for themselves instead of worrying about, you know, hey, this is what we got to do to prepare for Philadelphia. Having that one day was huge, I think. And we could see that pay dividends here as we continue to roll through the season.
Yeah. And you'll see, I think you'll see a couple of things that came out of that, you know, the bye week, and, you know, the way that the Falcons handled themselves in Philly kind of pay dividends through the course of the season. You know, we might discuss this a little bit later on today, but, you know, and I wrote about it on the website earlier this week, the whole idea of depth and kind of how the Falcons' depth kind of showed itself a little bit in Sunday's win. You know, you had Peter Kahn, who stepped in for Garrett Reynolds, played the whole game. Coach Smith said he felt like he played a solid game. He was proud of his effort. And I don't know, like, I haven't looked it up to see, like, you know, some of what, like, pressures he may have allowed or whatever. But and then, of course, you mentioned Drew Davis and his, you know, second catch of, you know, well, he got his first two catches of his career on the opening drive. The first one was a 15-yard gain that converted a third down, and his second one was that 15-yard touchdown. And that's quite a way to start, you know. And you're starting to see some of those things. Some of those guys start to step in, and they're going to be valuable later on in the season, probably.
Definitely, definitely. A lot of unsung heroes on this team, and I've been saying this all week, is that there's so many guys that make this team run that aren't named Matt Ryan or Tony Gonzalez or Julio Jones or Roddy White.
Absolutely, Kevin Combs.
I mean, you've got all these different guys who
Tommy Gallarda,
the William Moores, the Thomas mm-hmm. Decus. You know, that you've got those guys who aren't household names outside of Atlanta who are really making this machine run really well right now. But let's get into Dallas. I mean, a very tough matchup here coming up.
I'm just thinking the Dallas theme song just now.
I'm like, what are you doing over there?
I almost started humming it, but
you can do it.
No, I can't. I think it's a different one anyway. There was Dallas, and there was another soap opera that was on.
Yeah,
No, not Maverick. Maverick. What is that?
I don't know. But nobody can hear you anyway because you're not
landing.
Speaking into the
Knots
microphone.
Landing.
Knots Landing?
Yes.
Okay. Look, guys, I don't know anything about soap operas. This is not my forte.
This is a long time ago.
Well.
I guess.
Wouldn't it have to be?
Yeah. Anyway. the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Are coming to Atlanta.
Football team.
Sunday night. Another national TV audience.
Yep. Yep.
Let's get it together.
Let's pull it together here. Yeah, Dallas Cowboys, national TV, huge game for both teams.
Yeah, 3-4 the Cowboys are.
Yeah, way better than their record.
I think
their defense is one of the best in the league. DeMarcus Ware is about as nasty a player as you're going to find. I mean, just so disruptive. And they've got a good wide receiving core
that
can hurt you.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different elements to this team coming in. And we'll see later on in the week if, you know, they're going to have any kind of running game, DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, he didn't practice yesterday.
Right. So I think this is a tough game for – it's going to be a tough game for both teams. I don't think that, you know, the way the Cowboys lost against the Giants on that last play and, you know, just basically being a finger out of bounds away
never
from
mind,
the
they came back. I mean, they
right.
were, what was it?
23-0 they were down.
Late in the first half, and then they just rattled off all those points.
I mean, this is a team that their defense can hold when they need to. They're a dangerous team. And I just think it's going to be a lot closer than people expect.
Yeah, and Tony Romo gets this reputation, and some of it's deserved and some of it's maybe not. But, you know, he kind of has this gunslinger mentality. I don't think he gets compared to Brett Favre enough, me personally. But, you know, he takes a lot of chances. And last season he threw 31 touchdowns and he had 10 interceptions. So he's past that interception mark already this season. He leads the league with 13. But he's one of those guys that you just – he's going to have great games. You know, he just is. You know, and those three wide receivers, well, the Kevin Ogletree is kind of the forgotten wide receiver, but we saw what he did against the Giants in week one. You know, they're a tough team.
Very tough.
Third ranked pass defense in the league. You know, they brought in Morris Claiborne. He's a rookie, but he's playing well. It seems like you're starting to hear his name being mentioned. He's definitely improving. And then Brandon Carr has come in and solidified the cornerback position significantly.
I see a team though that is capable of making mistakes.
Absolutely.
And they're playing a team that is capable of capitalizing on those mistakes. And so if that happens, if they make those mistakes and the Falcons are able to turn those into points, or at least turn them into momentum killers for the Cowboys, could be a long night.
Yeah.
Could be.
You know, and we asked William Moore this today. When you head into a game, you know, knowing that Tony Romo has thrown 13 interceptions, do you kind of maybe anticipate that maybe you're going to get one or two of those? And he said, absolutely. I mean, we pride ourselves on takeaways to begin with. That's what we want to do. That's how we want to control games by, you know, takeaways. But he said, you know, you see those, that interception number, you see kind of how he plays. You feel like you have a good shot at that. I want to throw something at you, Jay. I think you may have read it, but I just kind of want to see your reaction. Is that cool?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Try me out.
Because I read this last night, and I had not heard it, and I was kind of surprised when I was thinking about, you know, the Dallas passing game.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons pass defense is ranked 10th in the league this year. 10th.
10th.
That's a top 10 pass defense.
That's what it is.
They've only, 216 yards a game is what they're allowing.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's incredible when you think about the way the game is today and the number of teams that will throw at you.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, the league is as balanced as everybody likes to think it is, and it's not. I think it's much more weighted towards the pass, and for a team to allow an average of only 216 yards through the air is impressive.
Yeah.
And I would say darn near impossible. And it's very hard to do that. So it's certainly a challenge for Matt Ryan to be able to pick his spots, find his receivers, and keep those drives going, because that secondary can really stop your momentum. And we saw, you know, against Philadelphia, we saw that the Falcons were getting to those third downs. You know, they weren't getting the first downs on second downs or the first downs on first downs. They were getting to those third downs. They were able to make those tough third downs, okay? But against this Cowboys team is going to be a lot harder. Now, let's keep in mind, too, that the Eagles are a very good team on third down, and the Falcons were still able to accomplish that. But
7 of 13 on third down.
Yeah, I really think that, you know, if the Falcons get into too many third down situations and they aren't able to make those tough third downs, it's going to be really hard to sustain any kind of momentum against this Cowboys team. It's just going to be a hard thing to do.
Yeah. it's an interesting matchup. I think it's a tough matchup for the Falcons. It's going to be an interesting game.
I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
You want to get to some buy or sell or watch the market? Or wait, did we get rid of watch the market?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I prefer to hedge my bets. But okay, well, let's bring Anthony the intern back in, and he will feed us our first question. Anthony, what do you got for us?
Okay, the first food for thought on the buy or sell. The Cowboys have the toughest group of receivers the Falcons has faced all season. Four talented players. Is that one too many for the Falcons secondary to try to handle?
It's tough. I'm going to sell that. I think the Falcons defense is, you know, what Mike Nolan has done with each individual game plan this year cannot be overlooked. I think, you know, he has been prepared for a multitude of different things. And I think this is just another situation where this is another thing that you've got to try to defend, and we're going to defend it, and we're going to put ourselves in the right position to defend it. And, you know, I don't think it's too much. Of course, you know, look, all things being equal, you'd love to have Brent Grimes healthy and in the equation to take on a wide receiving core like this. But the reality is that you don't. The great thing is that you've got a guy like Robert McClain who has stepped up really well. You know, he played 90% of the snaps the last game. They really like what they see out of him. He's playing great football. So, again, we get back into that next man up mentality that this team embraces so well. And we see that there are these guys that nobody's ever heard of before, and all of a sudden they come out of the woodwork and, hey, look, we've got a football player here.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think that's an accident. Mm-mm. I don't believe for a second that that's an accident. This team is built on guys like that. And so I don't see this being a problem for the Falcons.
Yeah, I sell it as well. I mean, the guys are talented, and I think I said it earlier. No, I asked a question to someone, a player earlier. Never mind. Dante Robinson yesterday said he felt like it was the most physical group of guys that they were going to face this season. And he referenced Denver as being another group that was up there in that physical list. I think you're right, Jay. I think that Coach Nolan is going to have a big part in handling that. You know, when we talk about the four guys, we're talking about Jason Witten, Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, and then Kevin Ogletree.
Yeah,
I think between the corners, and you mentioned Robert McClain, and I think they're gonna, you know, they're obviously gonna have their hands full, but I think that I think they'll be able to handle it. But I think it all boils down to the scheme that Coach Nolan's gonna draw up, and he's not gonna forget about Jason Witten. You know. There's going to be
– You can't.
Right.
It's impossible.
The Giants kind of show what happens.
What do you have, 18 receptions in the last game?
It was 17 or 18 off the top of my head. But, yeah, it was the most single-game receptions by a tight end in NFL history.
So to say that Romo likes throwing to him is a bit of an understatement.
A bit of an understatement. And however many yards he had, but he didn't have any touchdowns.
Yeah, which is definitely good to keep him out of the end zone if he can.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get to our next – question here. Anthony, take it away.
Okay, and this is a big if. The one of the crowd's favorite, they always chant Spoon, you know, and a big tackle.
That's
you
what
know,
they that's what
that's
they,
what they call him. They call him Big Spoon.
Yeah, yeah.
The big man.
That's a lot of talking for an intern.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get back to it. If Sean Witherspoon is out, the Falcons' defense will be affected significantly in both the passing and in the running game. Buy or sell that one.
You know, I think that the team will be affected if Spoon isn't a go. And you know, again, we're recording this at about 2 o'clock
it's
Thursday
2
afternoon.
O'clock.
We're expecting to know for sure here this afternoon, right around 4. So by the time you listen to this, it may have already been decided. But we can certainly discuss, you know, his impact, and you know, he is. I mean, he's like the heart and soul of the defense at this point. I think that torch has been passed to him. Mm-hmm. However, I think that this is a Falcons team that is deep. I think you're going to see a little bit more of what Akeem Dent can do. You're going to see a little bit more of what Mike Peterson brings as far as being an emotional leader out on the field. I think those are going to be the biggest areas where you're going to see the absence of Sean Witherspoon is in those couple of areas, just being that safety valve, you know, that guy that's a sure tackler,
yeah,
who's going to stop a play. But you know, I believe a lot in this team's depth, and I think even if you see a guy like Robert James getting in and getting some snaps, a lot of good can happen with those guys. And I think, you know, especially at the linebacker group, I mean, there's only five of them, so that the they're a tight-knit group. And so they are definitely looking to play for each other, and I think that can go a long way. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sell that it'll be a significant impact. I think that the other guys that are on the roster can make that impact a little softer, just with how they're able to step up. And again, next man up philosophy.
Absolutely. The word significantly is the entire statement revolves around that word significantly. I'll buy it. You know, I don't know that it's significantly going to affect things, but it's certainly going to affect things. I think the biggest place that the Falcons may feel Sean Weatherspoon's absence is in that was a lot of S's in there.
Yes.
Is in the covering Jason Witten, the tight end. Spoon is typically a guy that handles a large majority of that, and you know, that middle of the field area, and we know that's where Witten likes to go. But again, it goes back to Coach Nolan. You know, I think Coach Nolan obviously is going to know whether he's going to have Spoon or not, you know, heading into that game, and I feel like he's going to kind of design some, you know, some schemes that kind of cover that weakness a little bit. You know, I think we've heard the coordinators speak about that, you know, a couple of times in the past. You know, they want to play to their strengths, but they also, in doing that, they're trying to kind of disguise their weaknesses a little bit.
We just disagreed, didn't we?
We did, but it was, you know.
It was a very amicable disagreement.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Anthony the intern, give us our last question here in the buy or sell segment.
Okay, the Falcons need to lose eventually, right? Wrong? Buy or sell?
No. I mean, look, it's such a tough question because, you know, you don't want to see them lose.
Right.
But this is the NFL, man. Yeah. It's hard.
And in your mind, when you hear that question and you think about it, because I know I'm not the only person that's thought about it, you've seen the history of, you know, like you know, what happened with the Patriots. You know, and everyone kind of has this belief, and especially in, like, college basketball. You know, you want to enter the tournament with a loss or two and recently, so you're not – because you got to rattle off, like, six straight games, you know, where you're winning. You know, it's hard to disagree, I guess, but
– yeah, this question is tough, and I don't like it, and I'm not going to answer it.
I'll
answer
okay.
it. they need to lose eventually. You know, I think – if you want to spin it this way, and I do, because I truly do believe this is not just me, mm-hmm. you know, mouthing off. But I think when you're 7-0, 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, whatever it is, okay, I think a loss can be a positive thing. I'm not saying that it's what the team wants, because they don't. We don't want to lose any games.
Right.
I mean, I would love for us to go 19-0. That would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
However, if and when that time comes that the Falcons – lose a game, I don't see it as a terrible thing. I don't see it as, you know, look, there's a lot of pressure when you get to 10, 11, 12 games straight, you know, and that pressure, no matter who's going to tell you in the locker room, is going to affect you at some point because the questions are going to keep coming.
Right.
You know, and once Mercury Morris from the 1972 Dolphins starts talking to the media,
oh, geez,
then it's on.
Right.
Then you know.
Yeah.
And you don't want that pressure that Mercury can put on you, you know? No. Yeah. So
everyone else is, well, you know, has fallen to it. I mean, I guess technically the Patriots, it worked for them, but then they lost
yeah,
the Super Bowl, which is a great example.
If you have to lose one game, you don't want it to be that Super Bowl.
No.
So, I mean, you know, look, if the Falcons do lose, I think it, if I hear anybody talking like it's the end of the world, we're going to have some words because it's definitely not. And, you know, I think it can serve to bring your team down to earth a little bit and take some pressure off of you.
Yeah.
I don't want it to happen.
Right.
I would rather have the pressure, and I would rather have people talking about us going undefeated and all this other stuff. But, you know, I don't see it as the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
We're in a position where we don't have to win.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about the – position that the Falcons have put themselves in right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. That's why you want to win your games. I'll sell it easily. And here's why. I don't think that, you know, we have – this is not just lip service. These guys keep saying this, and they believe it like wholeheartedly. The most important game is the next game. And they don't look beyond that. The fact that they're 7-0 doesn't I feel like it doesn't even register with them. So if they make it to 12-0, the 13th win isn't going to have more significance or pressure than, you know, the second win of the season. They're going to approach it the same way. I don't feel like these guys. I don't feel like that. You know, a loss or anything is going to bring them back to earth or, you know. Tame their cockiness or anything like that. I don't think they were cocky to begin with, but what I do feel like is that there's a really confident group of guys down there that really enjoy playing football together, and I just feel like they can handle going through the season undefeated, and it's not going to change the way they prepare. So I don't feel like they need to lose, and I will happily see them win of their games.
I agree with you. You know, down in the locker room, this is the most focused group of guys I've ever been around.
Absolutely.
And humble and hungry is the call that we keep hearing. And you know, go ahead. You got.
Yeah, it's funny though. We've heard this kind of this stat. I'm not sure where it came from, but it came out of nowhere. Like it seemed like it came last night. It became viral almost in regards to the Falcons. The Cowboys have beaten the last three 7-0 teams.
Undefeated teams.
Okay. Okay.
Last three undefeated teams.
So you hear that, and then there's – what's the other half?
Those three teams have gone on to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. What?
Yeah. Yep.
So, but here, the funny thing is we got national media downstairs today. You know, ESPN's here as well as NFL Network. And they those guys are asking the guys this point blank. So which is, you know, you want to lose to the Cowboys? You know, hearing this stat, Tony was like, absolutely. If it means win the Super Bowl,
I'll tell you. I'll take that all day. Loss, yeah.
But William Moore was like, nah. They feel like we're going to win the Super Bowl anyway.
We can do both.
Yeah, let's just go for it.
Let's do both.
I also say I don't feel like, you know, if we get into week 14 and the Falcons are undefeated, it's not the media is going to create the story, but I don't feel like Coach Smith is going to feed this story. I don't think that I don't think they're going to be playing for an undefeated season
that's the other thing you got to think about is, and I think we're stepping on our toes here for one of our Twitter questions, but you know, you've got to think about, okay, if you get to 12-13-0, I mean, are you really going to be playing those last couple of games? I mean, are your starters really going to, are they just going to be like preseason games?
Yeah.
I mean, like that, those are things you got to think about. You want your guys healthy.
Absolutely.
You don't care about 17-16-0. You know, you care about winning a championship. And what that takes sometimes is resting your guys who've been on a grueling schedule.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it'll come if it comes, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, I don't see it as it's not the end of the world if it happens.
Right.
And I will have words with people on Twitter. Those of you who are chicken littles and like to think that the sky is falling.
The sky will not fall.
You know who you are.
That was a good movie.
What's that?
Chicken Little was a good movie. I did like that movie.
I didn't even know they made a movie about
Man,
chicken.
Man, that movie was good. I watched it 3 times.
All right. Well, you're going to have to let me borrow it.
What, you want it on VHS or DVD?
Yeah, Betamax.
I got the Betamax.
All right.
I can give it to you wholesale. Well,
make sure it's rewound first.
Yeah. Well,
I do that.
We'll talk about that after the show. Let's get on to our couple of Twitter questions here in the limited amount of time we have left.
All right. This comes from Bobby James 286. Can Claiborne and Carr really shut down the Atlanta duo?
You got two very talented cornerbacks there. I think that Roddy White and Julio Jones present a formidable challenge, though. Every time I hear another corner talk about Julio Jones, especially after he's done covering him, it's like he has saw a ghost. Like, you just can't – it's impossible. It's, like, so hard to try and cover him and really keep him contained and hemmed in for an entire game, and I think Roddy White is the same way. I think it's going to be a huge challenge for them, more so than it is going to be for the Atlanta duo – But it certainly could happen. I mean, who knows? They're talented, very talented in that pass defense. So I'm going to be very interested in that matchup.
Yeah, I don't think they can shut them down, you know, to use those words. I think it's an equally challenging matchup for both sides. But I think we've seen Julio and Roddy tandem, you know, as a duo go up against other good cornerback duos this season. You know, you can look back to last week if you want. Again, it goes back to schemes and the coordinators. I think Coach Cutter will produce some schemes, some things to combat those guys a little bit. And we're not going to get into like X's and O's, but there are things out there that you can do to kind of handle the man coverage kind of style that those guys are playing. So I don't think they're going to shut them down. I think one of those guys is probably going to have a big day. It kind of just depends on what's going to happen on the field. But I think Coach Cutter has a lot to do with that.
Okay. Let's get on to our next Twitter question.
All right. We touched on this a little bit, but MVM 1977, that was a good year, by the way. I believe that we will win the Super Bowl this year, but I also believe that we have a realistic shot of being 16-0. What do you think?
I mean, realistically, it's so hard in the NFL. I keep trying to explain this to people. It is so hard to win a game in the NFL. Like, really, what the Falcons have done to this point, winning 7 games, and I throw out strength of schedule. I don't want to hear that mess.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that mess. It is so hard to do. So, I don't know. I believe in this team, and I believe that if there's a team that can do it, it's this team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wouldn't set expectations that the team is going to go 16-0.
Yeah.
I think that would be just setting yourself up. Look, let's enjoy the winning streak as long as we can and as long as it continues to go. And if they lose, let's start another winning streak.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm not worried about 16-0. I'm not worried about undefeated. I'm worried about what's going to happen in January and February. Yeah. That's more of what I'm concerned with. And the guys downstairs are the same way. So, I mean, can it happen? Sure. I think it's tough to expect it to happen. I mean – this is the NFL, baby. You know, this is tough. Tough sledding.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough every week. I don't care who you're playing. Again, throw out the strength of schedule. I'm hearing this argument all over the place. Oh, the Falcons haven't played anywhere. I don't care.
I disagree with that.
And so do I. Vehemently, I disagree with that. But, I think it's tough. I wouldn't expect it. Take it week to week. Just like the guys in the locker room are. Have some fun. Enjoy the fact that we're 7-0 right now. And if when we get to 15-0, we'll worry about 16-0. That's when you worry about 16-0.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah. You know, for those strength of schedule haters out there, I ask you, who do
let them know. Speak on it.
Who do we play in week two? Do we call
Denver Broncos?
Denver Broncos. Who's the quarterback of the Denver
Peyton
Broncos?
Peyton Manning.
Okay. And this was on what, Monday night too?
Yeah.
And everyone's forgotten about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So, all right. Whatever.
3 interceptions in the first half.
Yes. Come on. But anyway. Yeah, Jay, I don't wish your life away, right?
Yeah.
Don't. I can't wait for January because, you know, we're going to go to the playoffs and we're going to win every, you know. Hey, let's just, we've said this like 3 or 4 times on this podcast over the course of the season. You know, one game at a time. Let's just enjoy the ride. Let's see how far it goes, you know. But I think you make a great point. I think that's a great thing to say. You know, if and when that loss comes, we'll start a new one.
Yep.
You know?
Hey. That's how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. That's but certainly, is. You know, for me personally, based on what I've seen of these guys and the conversations that we've had with, you know, players, you know, on a week-to-week basis, I have no reason to believe that they don't believe, you know, I have no reason to believe that they have any doubts that they can accomplish all of these things.
Yeah. Look, we all believe. It's not that. It's just setting a realistic expectation. You know, I don't know. I mean, do you believe in, like, goblins?
It's the day after Halloween. You're going to ask me that?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
You don't believe in ghosts?
Oh, I no, mean, I'm not talking about ghosts, this. Goblins.
Like zombies and goblins.
I don't know. What is a goblin, anyway?
I thought it was like a...
I thought it was like a little creature or something.
I thought it was... Like a morphed ghost?
You know what?
Boys. Let me Google that.
Yeah, let's Google it afterwards. Let's instead get onto our impact player and wrap this puppy up because it's gotten way off the rails today. All right, Anthony, let's go.
Okay, I'm going to bring you back on the rails.
All right, let's go. Let's get on the rails.
What player steps up this week? I mean, you know, last week, Jay, you kind of snuck in too there.
Hey, now.
Okay, well. Hey, now. Well, you only had one.
I only said
Daniel,
one.
That Daniel noticed.
Yes.
Okay, you said, you know, the big Abe himself,
yep.
John Abraham.
And what did he do?
He had one sack. Okay, mm-hmm. Come on.
Yep.
One tackle.
Yep.
Come on. One hit.
One tackle for loss.
Oh, one tackle for loss. Excuse me.
Yep.
One tackle for loss.
Yep.
One hit, and what was the end? One pass deflection.
That's right. That's tough for a defensive end.
And that's tough. And Daniel.
And he brought it. He brought the fire.
He brought the fire, you know. Daniel, and you chose, you know, War. W-A-R. Willie Moe is always ready. So who are y'all going with this week? I want to know. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's tough for me not to go with John Abraham again because he's facing another young tackle. And, you know, Tyron Smith is – second-year guy. And
they say he's good, though, Jay.
He's very good. I'm not taking anything away from him at all. I think he's a huge talent. And, you know, I would say, John Abraham is going to be that guy again. But, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go offense this time.
Uh-oh. You better not say who I was going to say.
I'm going to say that the biggest factor, the guy who's going to have the biggest game for the Falcons, Sam Baker.
Whew. Okay, I'm just relieved you didn't say my name.
How's that?
You didn't take the guy.
Offensive line.
All right, Sam Baker.
Sam Baker. I think he had a fantastic game against a very tough Philly defense. That wide nine is no joke. Trent Cole is no joke.
They bring guys in waves there.
It's amazing, and I thought Sam had a fantastic game. It's the changes that he made in the offseason are so evident to me, and fans I'm really hearing are really enjoying the way he's playing right now.
He's healthy.
And, look, DeMarcus Ware's a guy who can come from anywhere.
Right.
You know, he can come any side of the offensive line, but I think if he – attack Sam Baker, I think Sam's going to be able to take care of him. DeMarcus Ware is so tough. We talked about him already, but I mean, I really think Sam can have a huge game against him if he's matched up with him.
Good job. I'm
going to give the offensive line some love this week.
There you go. Good job. Well, I'm going to stick with offense too. I really thought you were going to take this name. I'm so glad you didn't.
What name is that? What do we got?
Michael Turner.
Oh, I was going to go there.
Oh, no, you weren't. All right. You know, we've established that Dallas has, you know, tough pass defense. I'm not saying the Falcons are going to just abandon the pass. I think we've already begun to see this year that they're not going to do that. That's not in their makeup. But it's going to be tough. You know, and Dallas's run defense isn't awful. But the Giants managed to put up 103 yards last week. Ahmad Bradshaw ran for 78 of that. You know, they gave up a couple of big runs as well. The Cowboys did to the Giants. I feel like the Falcons are going to go in there, or go into the game, and want to do some stuff with. It's just my gut feeling. It's just when I'm thinking about the game, I feel like they're going to want to do some stuff with the run game. I think Michael Turner is going to be a part of that. They're missing Sean Lee, inside linebacker, one of their keys to their run defense in their 3-4. I got a feeling about Turner this week.
I like it. Because I was thinking along the same lines. Yeah. I'm thinking that Turner's going to see some carries this week. Offensive line's going to open it up for him. Could see it.
All right.
Could see it. And, all right. So Anthony wants to say something.
I have one thing.
Let's see.
Wouldn't it be interesting to see Tony G get that 100 touchdown in a crazy packed dome?
Mm-hmm.
He might be able to be an impact player.
Are we going to start keeping track of Anthony the intern?
I got it. I wrote it down.
All right. So Anthony the intern is going to go with Tony Gonzalez as the impact player.
Carve that out and stall him.
But let's also not forget that Roddy White can become the franchise's all-time leading receiver. As far as number of receptions go, I think he's 4 or 5 receptions away from Terrence Mathis's mark. So could be a big night for a couple of Falcons here at the Georgia Dome. If you're coming, don't forget to wind your clocks back. Although, if you did forget, you would only be an hour early, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So maybe don't wind your clocks back and get there an hour early. Yeah. All right. So we will see you at the Georgia Dome on Sunday Night Football. Thanks again. For joining us here on the Falcon Cast podcast. And, you know, if you keep listening to us, maybe we'll come back next week. So we will see you then.